Tonight, take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Job. Look at Job chapter 2. Book of Job, right in the middle of the Bible, just before Psalms, the oldest book in the Bible. The book of Job. Have you ever thought, wondered, asked about sickness? What about sickness? What about healing? Those are two very close things to everyone because everybody here has a body. From time to time we get sick and then we get healed. What does the Bible say about that? Let's look at some scripture tonight, Job chapter 2. And in verse 4, it says, "And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown." Crown of his head, top of his head. We can see here that Satan is the one that wanted to make someone sick. So Satan is the author of sickness. And he's the author of death. Adam and Eve brought that upon themselves when they disobeyed the Lord and took the fruit from the tree, the forbidden fruit. And the day that they ate, they died. So it was Satan that deceived them, lied to them. They believed Satan. Don't ever believe an unsaved person. They believed Satan. They took the fruit. And they died spiritually. From that time forth, people started dying. All of their children died. They died. And it's been that way ever since. The author of sickness is Satan. 99% of the time, you get sick, it's Satan. God doesn't want you sick. God gave you a wonderful body. We're wonderfully made, the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms. And so we need to realize that our bodies, we that are saved, that is, our bodies belong to God. Our bodies become the temple of God once we receive Christ as our Savior. The Holy Spirit comes in to dwell. God's living inside you. That makes your body the temple. God living inside you, and so we need to take heed what we put into our bodies, how we treat our bodies, because in reality, they're not our bodies at all. It's His body. You see, he's the one that gave you the gift of life. God gave you a gift. And so he paid for that gift. He just gave it to you for a while. Everybody has that gift of life until that time is up for you. You don't know when that is. You don't know when you will die. When that gift will be taken away. He also gave you a body there without disease, without sickness, so forth. And so we need to take care of ourselves, watch where we're going, who we're around, what we're eating, everything that goes into your daily life. You'll be safe that way. Respecting God's body that you live in for a little while. Satan is the author. He had to ask permission of God to make Job sick. God doesn't make you sick. Satan made you sick. But he had to ask permission of God to do it. Now, it may be because of the rule of reaping and sowing, sowing and reaping, right? You go ahead and drink something toxic, something that is poison to yourself, and you're going to reap being sick and maybe die. You made that choice. So we need to respect that wonderful gift of life that God has given us, but it's Satan that's the author of sickness, the Bible points out. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. First Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 5. Paul's writing to a man that had sinned, committed fornication, claimed to be a Christian. He was in the church. And it says in verse 5, he said, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So here we see that Satan is the one that will destroy the flesh. You see the same thing that we saw with Job as well. You don't want that to happen to you. You want to get saved so you can go to heaven when you die, or when you die, you will go to hell. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He wants you to go to heaven. But if you choose not to get saved, you will be in hell for eternity. I don't suggest it. That's for sure. Go to Luke chapter 13, please. Luke chapter 13, verse 16. Here a woman came, and she had an infirmity in her flesh. In verse 12, Jesus saw her and asked her, what is your infirmity? Thou art loosed from thine infirmity, he tells her in verse 12. He laid his hands on her. Immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But look at verse 16. Because Jesus talking, he says, "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham," in other words, she was a Jew, "whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" The Pharisees are getting upset because she got healed on the Sabbath day by Jesus. Back up to verse 11 there, because it said, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. She was 18 years old. And was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself." She was bowed over. Hunchback type of thing. But he said Satan did it. Now, this is the words of Jesus. So it just confirms what we already saw in those other verses. Satan is the author of sickness and death. Go to John chapter 9. Gospel of John chapter 9. I got to drink some of my smart water so I can be smart. Pray for Betty and her healing of her arm and everything, being able to see at night and drive and everything. She was hoping to be here, but obviously not. John chapter 9. In verse 1 it says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." In other words, don't get the idea because someone has a sickness or is even born with a sickness like this man, it's because of something he did, or it's something his parents did. It's not so. That's a wives' tale. So don't believe that. Believe God. Believe the word of God. You'll always learn and get the truth if you get it out of the word of God. Always ask for book, chapter, and verse for everything you believe. Make sure you know it. Go to the book of James in the back of the Bible, after Hebrews. You get to James. James chapter 3. We're reading scripture about some sicknesses and things tonight. Chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." So we see that evil works come from the world. God created earth. Adam gave it up when he sinned, and Satan took the world for himself. That's why he's called the God of this world in the New Testament. When Jesus was tempted in Matthew chapter 4, Satan was tempting him by saying, "I have this, I'll give you the whole world just bow down and worship me. Yeah, he owned the world. He still does. And he was tempting Jesus by doing that. So we see that sickness is part of the world, and also that your things that are going on in your heart, bitterness, it talks about right there. It's earthy, it's sensual, it's devilish, envy and strife, always fighting all the time. Where that is, there's confusion in every evil work. Go to Psalm 103. Book of Psalm chapter 103. Psalm 103 and verse 3. In verse 2, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." It says, "For who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." That's interesting. Can the Lord heal all diseases? I guess we got a book on it. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. May not be his will within your life to have that happen to you. We'll put this all together as we search all of these verses tonight to get the truth that we can read. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, please. Get back there. We'll be using our Bible a lot tonight. Usually we do. That's where the truth is. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. And here the context is taking the Lord's Supper, taking communion. So he says there in verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." In other words, taking it lightly, not taking it seriously. "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." He's talking about that they died. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." So here we find that even as we approach a holy thing that we're doing, we're remembering in communion in the Lord's table, the body and the blood of the Lord, that's precious. That's holy. And when you take it lightly, you go laughing and smirking and all that kind of stuff, and you're not serious, or you're not sober. He said you can get sick, even to the point of dying. That's what the Bible says very clearly right there in front of you. So you can bring these things upon yourself, just like if you took some poison. Not a smart thing to do, but you can do it if you want. You're going to be sick, maybe die. Go to 2 Corinthians, the next book. Chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Here it's even the Apostle Paul himself. It says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan, he brings Satan into this to buffet me. Buffet talks about being pounded. It's a boxing term, to be buffeted. Lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, getting pride into his life. And he said in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. In other words, three times he prayed that God would heal him. That it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Even the best Christian in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, didn't get healed. He knew where the sickness came from. He knew where that thorn in the flesh came from. Satan. What does Satan have to do to be able to make somebody sick? What was the first verse we looked at? Job. He had to get permission from God to make Paul sick. And it was so that he would not have pride in his life, because he was a good Christian. And any person could get all puffed up and think that they're something because they know a lot of Bible, or they're a good preacher, or they've done a lot of good deeds and everything else. Yeah, we're supposed to do all that, but we're not to have pride because of it. It's only by God's grace. God gave you that talent or that body to be able to be used to praise him in that way. But he understood what it was going on. I mean, he bared his heart right there in front of you. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. A lot of different things go into this sickness thing, doesn't it? 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 20. As he's ending this epistle, I told you this morning that at the end of some of his epistles, he would name different saints and say hi to them, salute them. That's what he said here. So in verse 19, he said, salute Prisca and Aquila, the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. He couldn't heal him either. He left him at Miletus sick. Not everybody gets healed from their sickness, not even the good people that work for the Lord and everything. There's a reason behind it. We don't know what those reasons are, but we do know the attributes of God. Did we not study that this morning in Sunday school? God is good all the time. All the time he's good. So God can't do wrong in allowing someone to be sick. Maybe it's time for them to pass on, go to heaven. We don't do that. We don't judge God. You're not smarter than God. You're not more powerful than God. So don't get that kind of attitude toward God. That's a one-way street. That's a dead end. Look at 1 Timothy. Back up to your left a few pages. You get to 1 Timothy 5. First Timothy 5, verse 23. Here Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says in verse 23, drink no longer water. Boy, that's something different. But use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. There's some sickness right there. Some men's Sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. So he says in verse 23 there, at this time, Timothy was living in Ephesus. They had bad water. It was very alkali. It was eating up Timothy's stomach, all of his gut. And when he said wine, he didn't say alcoholic wine. That word wine right there is the Greek word oinos. And you look up the definition of the word oinos, and it means any form of the grape. Could be grape jelly. Could be grape juice. Paul wasn't telling him to get drunk. Paul preached against drunkenness, and he said anybody that's a drunkard, they're not going to heaven. So he definitely didn't tell them to drink alcoholic wine. That would be worse for your stomach condition. But grape juice, that's all right. I've gotten the habit ever since I've been a Christian and saw that verse and started putting things together. Every time we go to Wegmans or Walmart or wherever we're shopping that day, I'm always going over to the juice aisle. I'm going to get some Welch's grape juice. Mr. Welch was a Christian. And he knew the power of the grape. That's why we even take communion. We don't take alcoholic wine. We take grape juice. Healing represents the blood of Christ. Blood of Christ heals spiritually our sin, doesn't it? Because he shed it for us. You see how everything fixed together? That's what's going on. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus. I never heard of him. So you see, he was ready to die because he worked so hard for the Lord. See that? Right down there. So just to bring that reference back to you so you remember, for the work of the Lord, you can get sick, for sure. There's many real stories of missionaries going over in the jungles and everything else. And usually, what do they catch? Anybody want to guess? Malaria. Good, godly missionaries. They get sick, die. That's what was going on with Epaphroditus. He was working for the Lord. And a lot of times the Lord appreciates what we're doing for him. We are honoring him by working for him. I mean, a missionary, he's got to sell his home, he's got to leave his job, he's leaving family behind, he's just cutting all of the strings and he's going where God told him to go. And God appreciates that, and sometimes God allows sickness to come so that they can go to heaven right away. Instead of being captured by cannibals and eaten and all kinds of good thing, you know. So God always has our best in mind, but things happen like that. You'll read testimonies as you read good books. Go to 2 Chronicles, please. In the back of the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles. These are all of the acts of the kings. Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles. Well, he's talking about the kings. 2 Chronicles 16. Verse 12. Well, I'm in 1 Chronicles. Give me a chance, and I'll get to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12. Asa was a king. It says, and Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept, or died, with his fathers, died in the 140th year of his reign. Now, this is very important for you to understand. He didn't go to the Lord about this sickness. He relied on doctors. That seems to be a no-no. See it? He didn't go to the Lord. There's a progression. There's ways that we can get healed and not. Our time is running quickly, so I'll just throw out some references you can look up later if you want. Isaiah chapter 38, verses 1 through 5. And also verse 21. Also 2 Kings 20, verses 3 through 7. Now, as I finish this treatise up here, God does use medicine, and God does use doctors. Even Luke was a physician. He was a doctor, MD. God used Luke in a great way. There can be healing from God, because he's the great healer. Whatever Satan does to destroy us, God can reverse that. Just like spiritually, we're born in sin. God can reverse that. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord, trust in the blood of Christ, and you're healed of that sin. You're not damned to hell anymore. It's that simple. It's already been done on the cross for you. It would take a fool to die and go to hell. You need to be wise. Trust the Lord Jesus. Dwight D. Eisenhower, who knows who he is? Anybody? He's the 43rd president of the United States. Right after World War II, he was an army general as well. Good man, great president that we have. We got the phrase, "I like Ike." They called him Ike for Eisenhower. They called him Ike. And that was the phrase that I grew up with as a child through the 50s. "I like Ike." He's a good president. The whole thing is that he played football before he became president and everything earlier in his life. Have anybody heard of the man named Jim Thorpe? He was the first Indian, American Indian, to play football. And he was a great player. If you ever get a chance to see the movie on Jim Thorpe, that'd be smart for you to watch that. Anyway, while he was playing football against Jim Thorpe, he fell on his knee real bad, injured it real bad, Eisenhower did. They were contemplating taking his leg off, amputating. There was a doctor called Dr. Conklin. He was a Christian. He was the one that was left looking after his leg. He didn't know that Eisenhower would be a president one day and general and everything else, just football player. But he prayed. He prayed about that knee. And it got better where he could walk and he didn't have to have it amputated or anything else. I don't know if Marlene remembers, but early in our ministry, I had a ex-priest, ex-Catholic priest. He was up in Canada. His name was Greg Adams. And I scheduled him to be able to come and preach to us, give his testimony and everything. Well, he called the week before and he says, there's no way I can make that. I am deathly sick. They're saying I'm going to die of this thing. He said, but of course I'm saved and I'm ready to go anyway. But he says, I'm so sick, I just can't even get out of bed. Everything, I'm sorry, Pastor, I can't be there to fulfill my commitment to preach. Well, of course, I've already advertised, sent out flyers and everything, and made announcements on the radio, and I'd build it all up. And so everybody in our church was praying like crazy for Greg Adams, way up in Canada. That, I figured he wasn't going to be there, so I just preached. Well, it was just the night before that he called me. He said, Pastor, I don't know if you guys are praying for me in that church or what's going on. A lot of Christians know about this, but I'm okay. I was supposed to die of this sickness, but I'm okay. And so he flew in the next day and went ahead and did that. That's a real a thing that happened to us. Go to Acts chapter 3, please. The book of Acts chapter 3. So we talked about sickness. Now let's talk about healing. The book of Acts has a lot of miracles in it because that's the first Christians, the first church being organized in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 people got saved in one day and got baptized in the same day, joined the church, got busy telling others of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Because here was a man asking for money. Verse 3, he was sitting outside the temple and he was asking alms. He was asking alms, is begging for money. In verse 6, it says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all of the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our power, our own power, or holiness, we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One of the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Here's a man being healed. They wanted to give the credit to Peter. He said, it's not man. It's God. It's through this man, Jesus. You know, the guy you allowed to be crucified. You denied him. When Pilate saw nothing wrong with him, but you said, crucify him. Yeah. Well, he's the one that healed this man. Go to James chapter 5. Many more scriptures I can give you on all of this. I'm not going to take time for it. Tonight, though, give you enough information to know how this all works. James chapter 5. Because now it's talking about the organized church. And the times of the apostles are starting to end up. The apostles are being killed. I read some of the things to you this morning, how they died. So while they were alive, it's called the apostolic period. While they were still alive and all of these miracles and things were happening, tongues and everything else. But once they died off, tongues ceased, the Bible says. And miracles like this stopped also. So what do you do now? Because now it's the church. Well, you come to the book of James because that's a general epistle, we call it. A general epistle unto all of the churches. Not to just one specific purpose. So look at James chapter 5, verse 13. It says, is any among you afflicted? Are you sick? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So here it says that you're to go to the pastor, the elder of the church, and ask them to pray over you, anointing you with oil. Olive oil, obviously. The Mount of Olives is right there in Jerusalem. It was very, very common. So anyway, we see a situation here. When you're sick, it's not the Lord's will that anybody be sick, but if Satan asks permission, God will allow that. In some cases, everybody's case is different, that someone will get sick for a purpose. We don't know what the purpose is. We're not God. But we have enough proof in the Bible to know that's how it works. The oldest book in the Bible, Job, started us off of how it works. And Job finally did get well. And everything he lost, he got double back. Can't get a better deal than that. So the way it goes is when you get sick, you pray first. You honor the Lord. You acknowledge He has the power. He is the miracle-working God. You ask Him, just like Paul did, to heal you of this sickness, whatever it is. Doesn't automatically mean you're going to be healed. Paul was not healed. He asked three times. So again, God's in control. If you're a Christian especially, you honor Him and respect Him. Remember, I had a message on respect. You respect Him. You put Him first. You come to God first for that healing. Secondly, knowing that God does use doctors, hospitals, medicine, the second step is then to the doctor. You go ahead, and God will guide and lead those doctors, those physicians, those nurses, everything that goes into that, and they're trying to have you healed. They didn't heal you. God would heal you through them. And the third thing is, you go to the pastor. That's what we just saw in James. Your Bible's open right now. You call upon the elders. And the pastor will pray over you, anoint you with oil. Oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. Everything needs oil. Cars need oil. Machines need oil. The first thing I take every early morning, every day that I wake up, I take extra virgin olive oil. I drink a tablespoon of that. Some other elixirs I make up, vinegar and all that. Anyway, oil is good for you in the right quantity, the right kind of oil. And a pastor will anoint you with oil. I mean, I have to do that because it's right there in the book. And I'm a Bible believer. So, when you're sick or when someone else is sick, you go to God first, you pray first. And it'll always pray to have your life straightened out and love the Lord so you can approach Him and that He would answer your prayer. Secondly, if that doesn't get the healing, a couple days, whatever it is, no matter how serious it is. Second thing is go to the doctor. Get that straight. And then if that doesn't, you go to the pastor. That's the way it's laid down. One last verse, Luke 8:43, and we'll close. Because the greediness of man can come in a doctor's heart, in the people that make the medicine, pharmaceuticals they call them, big pharma they're called, they're trying to charge as much money as they can for their medicine, as you probably found out from pills and drops and vaccines and everything else, they're corrupt. They're sinners trying to take advantage. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 43. It says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Then she came and touched the border of Jesus." The whole thing is that way. She had it out of order too, didn't she? She went to the doctors first, lost all of her money, spent everything she had on the physicians. Then she went to the Lord. She should have went to the Lord first. Yeah. Keep it in order. Little instruction tonight. Bible study on sickness and healing. I hope it'll be a blessing to you, because sooner or later, you'll get sick.